to call to order the Astoria City Council meeting for September 19th. Can I get a roll call, please? Angela Cosby.
Sure. Counselor Ward?
Here.
Counselor Price?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nimbleweld?
Here. Thank you.
Just to let everyone know, Mayor Lemire is excused. She is out of town.
And the status of Counselor Herzig?
Yes, and Counselor Herzig has provided notice that his position is vacant as of this last week.
Okay, but we have a quorum. Counselor Ward, would you like to start reports of counselors?
Actually, yes, a very short report.
Okay.
Yesterday, I had the opportunity to attend a celebration of life. Yes, I did. That's why I don't talk very much, because my memory is more dead. For Ray Goforth, yes, and I was absolutely amazed at the affection that she was held in by a huge diversity of our community. It was very rewarding. Of course, she was one of the people that was very instrumental in getting the Maritime Memorial going and built, and that's something that I have a very strong attachment to. And at any rate, it was a wonderful event, and I think we said a proper goodbye to her. I'm really sad that she's gone to the other side, but that happens to all of us.
Ray Goforth, known as the mayor of Uniontown, right?
The mayor of Uniontown, yes.
Thank you. Counselor Price?
Thank you. Let's see, well, Citizen Police Academy started last week. It was really very interesting, and it's every Thursday from 6 to 9, and I think probably if you're still interested, they might be able to squeeze you in. I'm not sure. Chief is back there. He's nodding yes.
Almost certainly.
I really recommend it. You know, I thought that, and I do know a lot about police operations, but I learned a lot already in the one session. I'm looking forward to the full session. Also, I see a lot of faces in here. I'm not sure if I saw Councilor Ward, but Raina Christian's Garden of Surging Waves Festival, what is it called? Harvest Moon Festival installation is up, and it is really, really beautiful. And if you haven't had a chance to see it in the evening, hopefully we won't go until dark here tonight, but perhaps afterwards you'll be able to go through. I think that she really brought a lot of honor to herself, to her family, to Astoria, to her Chinese heritage. She opened my imagination once again to what should be and what could be there if we were to finish this project. Reanimated the Garden of Surging Waves. I saw so many little pieces of art there that I really never noticed before, because I just hadn't quite had the reason or the lighting. So I just really want to congratulate her again, just a high school senior with an enormous amount of poise and creativity, and thank her for that. I think that we had the City Hall Week, and perhaps you wanted to speak to that?
Go for it.
Well, City Hall Week was new to me. Councilor Ward, you've probably been to it a couple of times over the years. Every fall before the upcoming legislative session, the League of Oregon Cities comes around, and they previously had given us, I don't really remember doing this, did we have much of a discussion about this?
We didn't, but I think there may be more possibilities
in the future. Well, apparently what they did was they sent around a list of 29 subjects that they then asked various cities to rate, so that they could pick the top four that the cities that they represent consider the most important, and that they would put at the top of their list of advocacy during the legislative session. And the four that came up were property taxes, recreational immunity, transportation, and PERS. And I think that I was particularly grateful that Senator Betsy Johnson was here, because she gave us an enormous amount of background and real understanding about what this meant and what the legislature was really possibly going to do versus what the lobbying organization of the League of Oregon Cities might be able to do. And I think I'll leave it at that. I see Dulcie Taylor, the Downtown Association president here, and so she might be talking about Brewfest, which is coming up next weekend. And since Councilor Mayor Pro Tem Nemelo has on a jersey, and I'll let her speak to that.
Okay, yes, thank you, Councilor Price. I don't typically wear sports jerseys to council meetings. However, Kevin Cronin told me that I should tonight because he was sort of the point guard, self-described point guard for the Blazers visiting Astoria today, which was really fun. The Rip City Relay, they came by City Hall and we raised a Blazers flag, and it's flying outside of City Hall right now. And there's a wonderful event at Heritage Square. But a really neat thing that these broadcasters and Blazers dancers and team ambassadors did is went to a couple of local schools today, including Lewis and Clark Elementary. They really got the kids excited, and they donated some new playground equipment, some basketball hoops and basketballs, which was really nice. And they also donated $1,000 to the Parks Community Fund. So that money can be used for scholarships for people who can't afford some of our programs or use of the Aquatic Center. Which leads me to some other exciting news from the Parks and Rec Department, and that we received a grant made possible in part by our new Parks Master Plan, which will allow us to do some site work at parks. And we won a few awards for our Parks Master Plan. And I'd love Parks Director Angela Cosby to come up and say a few more words, or actually, you can sit there if you've got a microphone. If you wouldn't mind saying a few words about those items, that would be great.
Absolutely. So this past week, we received really good news in three different areas. One is that we received the grant that we applied for that actually former park planner Ian Sisson wrote. That was written to the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department for their local planning grant category. The grants were $40,000 to do a site plan for both McClure Park and Shively Park. And if you recall, those were top recommendations from the Comprehensive Master Plan. The city is providing a $16,000 match to that, as well as some administrative time. We'll start the process this fall in procuring a consultant to do the planning and design work, and then starting in January through April, we'll be doing the public participation process and hopefully having final plans complete in June. Then we also won two awards this last week for the Comprehensive Parks and Recreation Master Plan. One from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Association, their planning award, and then the other one from the Oregon Chapter of American Planning Association. We won their Public Involvement and Participation Award. So we're very happy that this master plan that we worked so hard on is continuing to give us wonderful outcomes.
Congratulations. And also, Ian Sisson, who coordinated and facilitated the Parks Master Plan with Angela Cosby, is here tonight. So if we could give them a round of applause. And I hear that Ian will be helping out in the Parks and Rec Department during youth basketball season, too, doing some coordinating. So that's terrific, Ian. So we've got a proclamation tonight. Whereas domestic violence impacts the health and well-being of our community, and whereas one in four women and one in 13 men will experience domestic violence in their lifetimes, and whereas exposure to domestic violence places victims in our community in danger of long-term physical, psychological, and emotional harm, and in some instances, the violence has resulted in the victim's death. And whereas children who witness domestic violence are likely to suffer emotional harm, And whereas the city of Astoria is committed to reducing violence in homes and on the streets of Astoria. And whereas the city of Astoria encourages every citizen to play a role in preventing and ending domestic violence. Now therefore, I, Zeddy Nemluel, Council President of the City of Astoria, proclaim October 2016 to be Domestic Violence Awareness Month. In the City of Astoria, and I urge all Astoria residents to work together to eliminate domestic violence in our town and to become aware of the resources and programs available to domestic violence victims. In witness whereof, I have herewith set my hand and caused the seal of the City of Astoria to be affixed this 19th day of September 2016. Is there anyone here from the Harbor or other organization that would like to speak on this or accept the proclamation? Okay, thank you. Okay, the consent calendar. The items on the consent calendar are considered routine and will be adopted by one motion unless a member of the council requests to have any item considered separately. Members of the community may have an item removed if they contact the city manager by 5 o'clock the day of the meeting. Mr. Estes, has that happened?
We have had no requests.
Okay. City Council, would you like to have any items removed?
Not from this chair.
Okay. Wow, that was easy.
I move we adopt the consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Roll call. Thank you. Roll call, Chief Johnston.
Councilor Bryce?
Aye.
Councilor Rohr?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Nemluel?
Aye. Thank you. Okay. And now on to regular agenda items. All items are open for public comment following deliberation by the City Council. Rather than asking for comment after each agenda item, we will ask that you raise your hand if you want to speak, and then we will have you come up to the podium and state your name and address. And in order to respect everyone's time, we limit comments to 3 minutes. So first up tonight is a liquor license application from Jeremy French, doing business as Rival Cider Works, located at 1343 Duane Street, for a new outlet for a winery license. Are there any conflicts of interests to declare? No? Okay, I would declare a potential conflict, given that my husband owns Fort George. However, Rival Cider Works is not currently a client. We're not distributing their product, so therefore I do not think that this would be a direct conflict, and so I will be voting on this.
So a liquor license application again was filed by Jeremy Fridge for Twist Apple Cider Works, doing business as Reveling Cider Works. And again, this is a new application outlet for a winery license, which a cidery would fall under. This site is located at 1343 Duane Street, Suite B, which is the building between Duane and Exchange on the east side of 13th. Departments have reviewed this application and no objections were noted. It's recommended tonight that the council consider this application.
Okay, thank you. Is there discussion from council?
May I? Yeah, I have one question. Normally, staff on liquor licenses takes a position either for or against, and there's no position taken here. Does that imply anything? Or
So we've had some liquor licenses recently, a couple of them, where staff has taken a position. This would be our typical. Our standard recommendation. It's only been where we've had, after the review conducted by staff, where there's been a recommendation. I can think of two of them recently. But this would be our standard. Standard. So no concerns here.
That being the case, if I can, I'll move for approval after comments.
Okay.
Can I just just clarify that APD did do look at this? Because yes, I have never seen in my brief time here this sort of application that doesn't come with a, some sort of note from APD.
In general, we do not make comments on these. It's only when there is something substantive where we would create a recommendation.
Then I second Councilor Moore's motion and just say that I think this building is beautiful, and if everything that comes out of it looks as good as what's on the outside, we're in for some real treats.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the liquor license application recommendation moves forward to OLCC. Next on the agenda tonight is a public hearing and contract award for Bear Creek Dam valve repair from the Public Works Department. Mr. Estes, can you tell us about that, please?
Sure. The City of Astoria's Bear Creek Dam is a concrete dam built in 1912 and is located in the hills to the east of Astoria. The Oregon Water Resources Department classified the dam as a high hazard dam due to its proximity to human population areas. In 2013, the city initiated a seismic failure analysis of that dam, but then it was later determined as a part of that study that the dam does not need to be structurally modified or mitigated to protect against seismic failure. There are some additional projects that do need to happen with this facility, and which include repair of the main drainage piping for the dam, a maximum flow study for the watershed, and possibly a possible overflow rear to the east of the reservoir. The item being discussed tonight is the highest priority next step, which is repair of the drainage piping for the dam facility. To complete the needed repairs, staff is recommending that the city execute a contract in the amount of $30,000 to Dam Maintenance Management, which is a firm which specializes in dam rehabilitation and maintenance. This firm was recommended by the Oregon Water Resources Engineer, and in order to have a sole source contract with this firm, our code specifies that we need to prepare and have the council consider an exemption findings and also conduct a public hearing to take comment. Findings were prepared and included in the memo, and a notice as required in the code was prepared. Tonight is recommended that council conduct a public hearing for the purpose of taking comments on the findings for exemption from the competitive solicitation requirements and consider the findings and authorize the sole sourcing of the goods and services contract with Dam Maintenance Management.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the council for Mr. Estes? Okay, do you all agree that we should go ahead and conduct the public hearing? Okay. So I'd like to open the public hearing in regards to public comments for award of contract for Bear Creek Dam valve replacement. Okay, looks like no public comments. Okay, council discussion, please.
I move we authorize the sole sourcing of the goods and services contract with Dam Maintenance Management for the not-to-exceed amount of
$30,000. And I will second that.
Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item, FEMA Pipeline Road Waterline Bank Stabilization Project. Mr. Estes?
I'm going to have our city engineer, Jeff Harrington, come forward to discuss this, but I'll give a bit of an introduction. During the period of December 6th through December 23rd of 2015, the state of Oregon experienced a severe weather pattern that caused damaging winter storms with high winds, flooding, and landslides. The city of Astoria experienced a washout at a location along Pipeline Road to the east of the city limits, where our 21-inch diameter water transmission main crosses a ravine, and this is the line that connects our reservoir that we were just discussing to our city limits. As a result of the damage, a federal declaration of emergency was declared, and later FEMA funds became available because of that declaration. So I'm going to have Jeff talk a little bit about the process that we have been through in working with FEMA and then also trying to obtain the necessary permits to complete this project. What is being recommended is not a full repair at this point in time, but rather a some improvements to be able to provide some assurance to the city that our water line will have stability during the next year while the federal government continues to process our wetland permits. And I'll have Jeff kind of provide a little bit more statement. Jeff, is that a mic on?
Is it?
No.
Yes.
I'll look back.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the process of this project, we have two FEMA-funded projects that we're working on. One is this pipeline road washout, and the second one is our shoreline stabilization project. We've had multiple meetings on this project and walkthroughs with teams of FEMA and environmental staff from FEMA. And we've had meetings with the local Fish and Wildlife, and we came up with a repair option, which was to repair the riprap that was previously there. Everybody was on board with this process. The only people we hadn't heard back from was the Army Corps of Engineers. And we actually have our DSL permit, and they determined it an exempt activity. Everybody, even Fish and Wildlife, was expecting that same thing out of Army Corps. We just found out recently when we kept recommending that we push ahead. We have an in-water work period that we have to meet on this project, which typically ends September 15th. We got an extension to October 15th. So we were right up against the gun on the time frame, and we still hadn't heard about, you know, from the Corps. So we were getting nervous, so I contacted my FEMA contact. They contacted the Corps, and we found out that National Marine Fisheries was not gonna issue their part of the permit. So we put together a big team meeting with a group of folks from FEMA, and we ended up finding out that they did not like our alternative to repair the riprap. They want a bioengineered solution. While we agree with that being a great idea, we do not think, and I've confirmed this with our geotechnical engineer that's studying the site, that a bioengineered solution would work there. If it did, we would have looked at that as an alternative. So when I asked FEMA what our choice options were, one of the things that we threw around was, since we have about a year until NOAA is going to make a decision, or National Marine Fisheries is going to make a decision on an approved alternative, and in that meantime, we have to do alternatives analysis and a cost-benefit analysis, and we think a hydraulic study. We asked them, what do we do in the interim? Because this water line that's at risk is the water supply for our entire city of 10,000 people approximately, and for approximately 4,000 of our 5,000 outlying water districts. And I explained to them that it was unacceptable to not have water, just not an option. So anyways, we came up with an interim solution to place, stockpile rock material at the site, monitor it. It's going to be very time extensive for staff. We have to go out after every storm, monitor it, and as soon as we feel that the line is at risk, we're going to start placing rock under an emergency action. I will be notifying the Corps that we're doing this, and they've informed us that any rock placed will have to be removed as part of the final project. The good news is that FEMA has adjusted their what they call project worksheet to include this work to pay for it. I've checked, as I've told you before, 75% of the project will be reimbursed by FEMA and 25% by Infrastructure Finance Authority. I could not get a hold of our contact at Infrastructure Finance to find out if they're in a position to increase their award amount, but FEMA has indicated that they are. So the way it stands now, we're going to prepare, and we found, I discussed with our city attorney, the best way to prepare for this emergency action. And since the bid with Big River Construction, who was the lowest bidder on the project we had planned to build, has all the same activities, you know, building an access road and the same rock quantities, or same rock material, we're gonna enact that contract under a limited status. We call it a conditional notice to proceed, but we'll only authorize them to build the access road, or it's already there, but they're going to be enhancing it, mobilize equipment, and then stockpile rock and be prepared to save our water line.
So tonight, it's recommended that the City Council authorize the award to Big River Construction in the amount of $44,837 for the pipeline road stabilization project. And as Jeff said, that document would have the conditional notice to proceed included in it, and we'd be prepared this winter if we needed that work to move forward.
May I ask Jeff a question? And you're probably going to have to search for real simple words, but I can't understand how National Marine Fisheries is involved in a pipeline project.
Well, this is one location. If you guys remember back when I gave a presentation on our Oregon Health Authority sustainability grant, it's a resiliency component of their sustainability program, which we're waiting to get final award on. Part of that study was to look at our 12-mile transmission line from Bear Creek to the city, Bear Creek Dam to the city, and look for vulnerable locations. And primarily, those are going to be land sites. We have multiple locations where it's vulnerable due to land sites. This is one, this is the oddball location where it's vulnerable because it crosses a creek. So what the pipeline does is that, if you've seen those old pictures of when they're building the wood stave pipe back in the day, and you see those big trenches, they come down, they're coming down a big ravine with one of those trenches, they get to the creek, and what they did is they just laid the pipe right in the creek, but it's below the creek bed. But barely, you can see the top of the pipe. You can see the top of our last five generations of pipes, back to pieces of the old wood pipe. The metal staves are laying there. So this has been our alignment for over 100 years. It has eroded in the past. We have protected it in the past. It should have been a classic repair. But we're seeing environmental issues raised to concern where they do not want to put rock into natural drainages. That's a great objective, a great goal to have. I wish I just would have known that about 6 months ago.
Jeff, I think though, to answer Councilor Ward's question, why is the Corps of Engineers and National Marine Fisheries reviewing this?
Oh, it's jurisdictional water. It's a state waters of the state and federal jurisdiction too, because of the Endangered Species Act.
Are there any endangered species that inhabit the creek?
It's kind of ironic. They're doing a survey now. There are known coho and steelhead presence. Not that it's well documented, but it is in a, you know, there's a fish passage culvert above this site. No reason to believe, there's no barriers to fish spawning in this area. So we always, assume on the safe side that it is habitat, and they treat it that way.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harrington. Are there any more questions or discussion from council?
Yes, thank you. And if I understand this correctly, unlike the work that is being done at the bridge end that is sort of on our dime and will have to be taken out for the permanent fix in a couple of years or in a year or so, this is not that. FEMA will reimburse us for the full amount of what we're doing.
They have told me they would. They have not sent over the revised, what they call project worksheet, describing the work, but they're in the process of it.
And maybe if I can clarify that. FEMA has stated that they were initially going to be providing 75% of the repair cost. What FEMA has stated is, with this revised scope, they would still pay for 75% of the revised price. The Infrastructure Finance Authority from the state of Oregon had stated that they were going to initially provide the money for the 25% match. What we have not heard back, as Mr. Harrington was stating, is if the IFA will provide the additional amount for the additional price of their 25%. So the city may have to bear some of the cost. Through some of their infrastructure funds. But it would be, I'm going to say, in the scheme of things, a small amount. based upon what, if the state of Oregon Infrastructure Finance Authority doesn't pick up 25% of the new price.
But this, what we're looking at now, the contract is a little low, it's close to $45,000. So the new one would be substantially less than that, correct?
Yeah, in the range of about 10 to 15 is what I guess.
Okay, thank you. I move that we authorize the award of the contract for the pipeline road main stabilization project as described.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Harrington. Okay, and the next item is an ordinance readopting the local fuel tax, which would include possible first reading. Mr. Estes?
An ordinance was adopted in 2007 which dealt with the provision of administration, enforcement, and collection of a 3 cents per gallon tax on motor vehicle fuel dealers. And the use of this tax revenue is for the construction, reconstruction, improvement, and repair of city-owned roads. You'll see that there's been some repaving which has been going on over the past few weeks. This is areas outside of the CSO areas, but for instance, the area of Exchange Street between 15th and 16th is just one example where we're repaving roads using these revenues. The cities of Astoria and Warrenton adopted this 3 cents per gallon tax ordinances at the same time back in 2007. Astoria and Warrenton desire to continue to have this tax in place to be able to provide funds for road repaving. So what is brought before you tonight is the ordinance, the first reading of the ordinance to continue this gas tax into the future. And it's recommended that the City Council conduct the first reading of the proposed ordinance regarding motor vehicle fuel tax. And Ken, I know Ken pulled together some of the information in terms of how much this is generating. Ken, do you want to just real quick give some of those numbers?
We generally receive in the neighborhood of $19,000 to $20,000 as an average monthly return on the tax. And that equates this, again, an average of approximately $200,000 a year. Very interesting how it fluctuates just without any kind of an explanation. More people are going to Warrenton. Don't know. But anyway, roughly $200,000 every year is going to come in.
Okay, thank you. Council?
I would like to move that we conduct the first reading.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I mean, aye for me. And opposed? No? Okay. First reading, please. Ken Cook.
An ordinance readopting ordinance number 07-02, providing for a motor vehicle fuel tax.
Thank you. Okay. The next item is economic development strategy. Kevin Cronin, our Community Development Director up there. Mr. Estes?
Just a brief intro. On March of this year, Council authorized the solicitation of for professional services to assist the city in creating the city's economic development strategy. A $40,000 grant was awarded the city by the Department of Land Conservation and Development to offset a portion of these costs. The other $40,000 match is proposed to come from the Astor West Urban Renewal District, since the largest majority of the city's employment lands are included within that area. There's an associated item on tonight's ABC agenda to consider that should we move forward with this contract for consultant services. There were interviews held on June 15th. After an initial review of the solicitations, and ultimately it was recommended that Community Attributes Incorporated was selected as the preferred consultant. Kevin is going to give an outline of what this project would undertake for the council's information, And then ultimately, it's recommended that the council consider authorizing the professional services contract with CAI.
Thank you, Brett, Mayor Pro Tem and members of the council. I appreciate the opportunity to get an update about the project. It's one that we have had smatterings of updates, so this is more of a full update for you tonight as we are looking at a contract. This is a project I get pumped up about, and I'm hoping at the end of this presentation you'll be pumped up about it as well, because I think it's going to have a real impact here in Astoria over the years. In honor of the Blazers, let's consider it a pregame pep talk. I hope these questions will answer most of the questions, but I will get to your questions very quickly if they have not answered your questions. So I have a number of questions that will frame the discussion tonight, so let's look at those. If I can get my slides to advance, maybe Susan's going to be the controller tonight. So I'm just going to review the context of where we're at in terms of your city council goal from last fiscal year. We're going to look at what is economic development, what are we trying to achieve, what is different about this project of other projects that my department has maybe worked on, how do we involve the public, which is obviously a very important thing in Astoria and a very important thing for our department, and what is the request before council. I think Brett kind of summarized that already. All right, so we adopted city council goals last year, and one of those goals was promote positive economic development through strengthening partnerships. Say that three times fast. So when I saw that city council goal when I got here a year ago in July, I knew that there'd be some grant opportunities coming through, and lo and behold, we wrote and received a $40,000 grant from the Department of Land Conservation and Development, as Brett mentioned. DLCD has been an amazing partner to the city of Astoria over the years, so I'm very appreciative of what Patrick and his crew have done for the city. It is going to create the strategy, but it's also going to update our comp plan. There's an economic element in there that will be updated at the very end. And the strategy identifies partners and resources to achieve your goals and your objectives. So that's what we have. Let's go to the next slide. So what is economic development? There's really three themes that we're looking at here. It's diversifying, it's wealth creation, and it's resilience. We want to diversify our economic sectors. We don't want to rely on one particular industry, like say tourism. And just like any business, you don't want to just have one product, you want to have other products and services to sell, right? And it's also about wealth creation. It's about growing economic ladders for different household incomes to be able to grow more wealth for their families and more wealth for those individuals. It's also about resilience. We heard Jeff Harrington talk about that buzzword. It's a very popular word these days. When you go through the bad times, you want to have something to fall back on. And so we want to diversify our economy over time, not relying on any one particular industry. Resilience has become almost interchangeable with sustainability, so I could have certainly had that up here as well. Okay, what are we trying to achieve through this project? Well, I mentioned the update to the comp plan, which is very important as far as a long-range plan for our land use planning here in Oregon, and particularly here in Astoria. We also want to gain consensus about where the best bang for the city's buck is. We get requests for city funds. We should have a guide to be able to help us make those decisions. So at the end of the day, we'll have something to fall back on. We also want to identify target industries. So when the consultant does this analysis, hopefully they'll be able to read the tea leaves, and it will show certain industries that are going to be really strong here. So what does that mean? Perfect example, and this is not an easy conclusion for all of us, and that is the craft brewing sector. Astoria has done phenomenally well in the craft brewing sector. Council just reviewed a liquor license for the first site awards. There was a kombucha brewer here until her husband left for a Coast Guard assignment. So we're starting to see some amazing work done in that sector. So how do we continue to grow that? So it's an example. What is different about this effort? Well, we know it's not about tourism. Tourism is doing just fine on its own right now. So we're really focusing on those other opportunities that are out there to grow the local economy. It's not about real estate development per se. However, as part of this project, we are going to be doing some land inventory around our industrial lands and commercial lands. So we are smart about our lands. But it's really about the businesses and not so much about the real estate. It's also a citywide conversation about jobs, the local economy, and how our partners like Cedar, Chamber, COLPAC and all those folks can really help the story achieve a better job growth and a stronger economy. So, how do we engage the public? The mayor, before she...
Mr. Cronin?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes,
I just don't want to forget this question.
Yeah.
Back on your previous slide about real estate and filling vacancies,
yes.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Just because we're under the impression that there are not a whole lot of vacancies.
So I don't have a inventory of vacancies. So my note in this presentation is that if we are looking for particular businesses to fill those vacancies, and we have certain funds, we want to be able to use those funds in a very strategic way.
I'm sorry, my misunderstanding.
Yes.
We're talking commercial vacancies.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Sorry about that. So if the port has a vacancy in their inventory, we're going to help them try to fill that. So as I was saying, the mayor, before she left on her trip, has appointed an advisory committee. We have a 12-member advisory group that's going to help us through this project. We've got two community forums and a field trip coming up. We're going to try some pop-up shops. Ian is still in the audience. He gets the prize for trying his first lease, I think, in Astoria, and it seemed to work really well. We'll have a community-wide survey. In addition, we'll have focus groups with different industry sectors like craft brewing. Like the clothing industry that has really blossomed here, which is just fantastic. If you go to the Sunday Market, there are lots of clothing or outdoor-related businesses, and that is something that's really cool, and I want to figure out how to grow that here in Astoria. We've got other community events and groups like the Chamber Breakfast. I'll be making presentations there. We have a strong social media platform now. We'll cross-market with our partners, and of course, we will engage other partners outside of Astoria that can help us really take this to the next level. So this is just a diagram, a typical Venn diagram, to show the relationships of the three sort of major components of what the action plan is going to look like. We're going to have heavy focus on partnerships. There's going to be the policy development part, which is really the comp plan. And then there's the day-to-day operations. That's the part that's really helpful to me as your director to really kind of go out there and do the work that needs to get done. And it's going to be over a five-year period where this will be. So can update that in the future. So what is the request for council? I think Brett summarizes pretty well. We have a contract before you with Community Attributes out of Seattle. We did a very lengthy review process. I wish it would have taken a shorter time frame, but it didn't. It took what it took. We have a fresh approach to a very challenging project, and it's a first-time project. So at the end of the day, I want to provide you an excellent product. And it's a 50-50 match, so I'm very proud to be able to only spend, request to spend $40,000 in URA funds, which is under the Astoria Development Commission. And then if you're wondering what the final product's going to look like, it's really actually going to be a very short document. It's going to be roughly 10 to 12 pages, and it's something that I can take to a business and show exactly what our plan's going to be. With that, I'll take your questions.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you. Any questions from council?
I do have two or three questions, and please don't think that I've been negative. My primary question is, why is the city getting involved in economic development? The reason I ask that question is when I was elected to serve on the city council, I was also on the board of the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
The Chamber of Commerce had an economic development committee.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Astoria had an economic development committee. The college had an economic development committee. In fact, in the county, there were 16 economic development committees, and we were not seeing any substantive efforts to develop the economy. We were looking at 16 groups of folks that sat around coffee and talked about, wouldn't it be nice to have some economic development? When we hired Skip Hauke, he intuitively understood that we were going nowhere with this, and so he developed the program that we know now as CEDAR, and all of the individual groups gave up their economic development committees, and we now have something that has received statewide and national awards almost every year for the last 5 or 6 years. And I think that's wonderful. And what you're saying there looks good too, but I'm really afraid of another economic development committee.
Okay. So the mayor appointed committee is just for the project. The mayor has not notified me that she wants that committee to continue after the length of the project. So the committee that we have, which you refer to, is CEDAR. So I go to those monthly CEDAR board meetings to make sure that we're coordinated as a community and as a county when we're doing economic development. So both Mary as well as Kevin, respectively, are going to be on that committee to make sure that we are a well-coordinated machine.
Okay, so we are working with them rather than...
And Kevin, maybe if I can provide a little clarification. Yes. So, Council Moore, as in when we updated our transportation system plan, there was a project committee that ran along with the development of the transportation system plan. Uh-huh. This committee would be similar, where it's a group of individuals that's going to be working and providing some guidance along the way. Ultimately, they would be making a recommendation that will come to City Council in the end, and then after it's done, the committee, working committee. Will
go. So what I think I'm hearing you say is that you are following our goal exactly, because this will be strengthening our partnerships with other groups.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
I'm very much in favor of that.
Thank you, Council.
Well, Mr. Cronin, I guess this thing might end up having some real teeth too if we end up changing the comprehensive plan to reflect this strategy. What's an example of one way that the comprehensive plan could change? Are there economic development strategies in the plan that may be outdated?
Yes.
Are there ones that are newly emerged that maybe we're missing that should be included in the plan?
All of the above. So we have to scrub through the existing comp plan and make sure it still makes sense for today in the next 5 or 20 years, that time frame. So our consultants with our committee are going to look at all those existing policy and objectives and still make sense. And if they don't, we'll bring amendments to you for consideration, first to the Planning Commission, then to the Council.
Thank you. Well, I think diversification in the economy is really important. We can't put all of our eggs in one basket.
I had that on my talking points, actually.
Well, I did not see your notes last time, but I guess you and I must see eye to eye on that.
Yep.
Tourism has really saved Astoria in terms of what it was when fishing and logging went downhill, when it declined. And now we've got a huge tourism economy, but certainly to have the kind of Astoria that we want to have in the future, a year-round community, a real community, it can't just be tourism. So I think this economic development strategy is a really good move. Councillor Price.
Thank you. Can I ask who is on the advisory committee and when was it appointed?
So with your permission, Mayor Pro Tem?
Please, if you have that list, yep. I'd love to know too.
Take it out of my paperwork here. So we have Mayor MacArthur with COLPAC. We have Kevin Leahy as our representative executive director from CEDAR, as well as the Small Business Development Center. Jim Servino at Horsekit Hockey from the Chamber, Jim Knight with the Ports, and Jim also has Gary Cobes, who I believe is his airport manager and development expert, Dave Cronin or Josh Allison representing Bowie Beer and Reach Break as part of the craft dining sector.
Cronin and
Cronin, which is not Cronin.
Yeah.
I'm not related to that.
But I didn't hear the other name.
It's Josh Allison, who is one of the co-founders of Reach Break Brewing, which is opening right down the street here. Eric Thorson with CMH. Joanne Zahn, who's a vice president of finance at the college. We have Leslie McCray, who's representing our kind of small business entrepreneur field. She's also a board member with Sunny Market. We have Walt Postlewaite with Craft 3. Jorge Gutierrez with the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council. Lisa Dunlap with Pacific Power, and Andrew Bornstein representing the seafood processing sector.
Okay, it does sound good. I share the interests and concerns of both of my colleagues, and I'm particularly glad to see that there will be a citywide conversation, and I hope that it really will be citywide conversation, especially when it comes to changing the comprehensive plan. Lots of discussion about that. I'm still concerned about the lack of public discussion that has taken place about possible changes to the development code, but we've kind of wrangled those down to certainly much less than they were to begin with, so that would be my comment. Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion?
You don't make any motion?
No.
Okay, Mike.
Oh, I'm good.
You're shut off, so okay. I'm done.
I move we authorize a professional. Oh, this reminds me though.
Yes.
My first question. My first question was based on your first paragraph or city manager's first paragraph about how there was some difficulty coming to a decision about whom to award the contract.
Yes.
And I you could read that two ways, like everybody was on top or everybody was on the bottom, yeah, or something in between. Can you give us a little background?
You know, there was some internal dialogue with our committee about, you know, what is the best way to approach this issue, because it's a first time kind of strategy that we're trying to pull off here. And so we had to be very intentional about who we're going to choose. So ultimately, after much discussion, we came up with somebody who was really, like I said, was going to bring a really fresh approach to this project. I think you're going to be really surprised in a good way about how Community Attributes is able to communicate this information in a very simple way. In my opinion, the better consultants these days are really good at infographics, because infographics can really kind of boil down some really complicated technical information into something that, you know, you and I can understand just right off the street. And so my job is to communicate a very complex project into very simple terms for everyone who is interested in this project.
Is this an organization that either you or any of the other community partners have worked with previously?
No, so that is, you know, there's a risk in hiring this firm, that is the only risk.
Okay, thank you. So I move that we authorize a professional services contract with CAI.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, congratulations. I hope you do a good job. Go for it.
Oh, yes, sorry. I've got one public service announcement. That's okay, Mayor Pro Tem.
Sure, please.
So October 5th, we have a kickoff meeting. You all are invited. We have a panel presentation moderated by Kevin Leahy, who I just mentioned. We've got four, potentially five, which hopefully make an announcement on the 5th here. We have Chris Breitmeyer, our new president of the college. We have my old friend, John Busey with Kinesis, who's an expert in the marketing branding strategies. Jim Knight, well-known person. And Adam Zimmerman, who was just named president and CEO of Craft 3, who's also a friend of mine from college. So we're very happy to have these very four big thinkers come to Astoria to help us kind of think broadly and strategically. And I'm hoping you'll join us at Fort George on October 5th. It'll start at 6 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Sounds like fun.
Yep.
Okay, now new business. Is there any new business?
No new business from city staff.
Okay, and public comments. This is your chance, Dulcie, and anyone else who wants to come up and talk, please come to the podium and state your name and address. And once again, we're going to try to stick to about 3 minutes for your comments.
2 weeks ago, I read in the paper that the city council had voted to outsource the downtown parking control. I'm in totally support of the downtown parking enforcement, but I'm opposed to the council decision to outsource. As a person who had a house broken into while I was hosting an event for the city, because it was publicly advertised that I would be at the event rather at home, I also had my identity stolen, which took years to fix. If you see the paper, recently, you will know that there was a person that was sentenced for stealing from their dad, a person who was convicted for stealing from their employer. A few years before that, there was a person stealing from a nonprofit. I've given my information to the city, not for the city to give to private groups or individuals, but I'm very careful, having gone through these, to where my information goes. After reading the answer, I called Commissioner Ward. I want to thank him for returning my phone call. I also called the mayor, but I had not heard back from her. The police chief came to my store and we talked, and he was very respectful. There were a couple of comments that he made that I had some concerns with. He said that any information that that had been given to the city can be given to anyone that the city seems fit to have. The second one is, I said that I thought there was a difference between a city employee and a private person or a private individual. The chief said he didn't see a difference. It disturbed me to think that the police chief does not think there is any difference between what I thought were highly qualified, trained police officers and rent-a-cops. And that's the way I took it. I understand that the council had made their decisions and what information they had. I'd like to ask, and I have five questions for each of the council members, and I know there's only three here, about that, so I can understand what knowledge they had and how they made the decisions, if it's okay. My first question was for Commissioner Price. Who is going to have this information that you're giving out to the Downtown Association? And before I go any further, I want to say the Downtown Association is a great organization and do a lot of good. But who's going to have that information?
Excuse me, sir, can you just first of all state your name and address for the record, just as a matter of procedure?
Jim Kretler at 1660 Southeast First.
Thank you. And can you clarify what information you were asked to provide? The information about yourself that you're talking about tonight?
About my vehicle, and that is related to the business I work for. So if I wanted to, I got a hold of it, I could determine when I worked, because most of the hours of the store is open, which means there's nobody at my house, which means it's a person who was a thief could break into my house knowing that there was nobody there for that information.
Okay, go ahead and ask your questions, but I'm gonna leave it up to the counselors as to whether or not they wanna answer tonight. Oftentimes when we get asked a question from the public, we need to research a little bit before we come up with an answer. So there might be a case where we need to follow up.
The reason why is I feel these questions should have been known by the council before they made the decision. That's the reason I'm asking the questions. First question is, who are the people that are going to have my personal information the city will be giving to it?
Honestly, Mr. Kreller, I don't understand the question. The city is not giving the Downtown Association any information. We're giving them the ability to police parking. They will write down the license plate number of the vehicle that is in the wrong place at the wrong time, and anyone could do that. So
as a city or downtown business employee, I'm not allowed to park down there. I have to park outside the district. And if they aren't giving that information, that's great. That's what I want to know. Who's going to be getting that information? Because I wrote it down and we gave it to the city. When you do your business license, that is one of the questionnaires that has to be filled out to give to the city, so that the police will are aware, because John Horde, who was, would come by and say, your car is not supposed to be down here. I said, I'm just unloading stuff for my store, I will be moving it. So he knew the information from the city that I had provided the city with, and he was a police officer.
So John, I'm Jen. I'll tell you, I can tell the public right now what kind of car and license plate number you have, because I work downtown as well. The parking control officer is going to know who works downtown just by developing relationships with everyone. And
is he the only one that's going to have that information? Are you not going to give him any of that form or that information I gave to the city?
Information?
Because the police chief indicated to me that they were going to have it.
So, Jim, the the information that, that is put on your business license is public information. I mean, it's a public record. And so the information that is going to be provided to the parking control officer is, if a merchant says that they have an employee and here's their license plate number, but at the same time, if you work downtown, my guess is most merchants know which vehicles belong to which people, because it's a small group of individuals. And what I'm saying is that the difference in what will be provided, which is already public information, and then on top of that, which can be known by someone who is a parking control officer downtown who's going to develop relationships, that's information that's, this is information such as social security numbers and those types of things is not provided.
Mr. Estes, would it be possible for you to talk to this gentleman tomorrow to help answer the questions that he has? And if you still have concerns after you have those questions answered, please come to us again after that. But it sounds like there's some Q&A that could occur outside of the meeting.
Yeah, I think that's what, I believe what, when Chief Johnston wanted to pay a visit to Mr. Kretler, what at least we hoped that it would provide. And I think there may be some differences of opinion and differences of understanding in terms of what happened with that conversation from reading the body language of the chief. So I think we could definitely follow up with Mr. Kretler afterwards.
Okay, is that satisfactory to you tonight, sir?
I guess that's what's gonna happen. But,
okay.
But I wanted to know what you guys knew. Is the city going, if as a result of this, I have identity theft or I have another break-in, is the city going to identify every single employee that's down there? And if you're involved with two different businesses that I know of, the co-op and that, if your husband gave the business downtown that information and they find out that it was a result of them having it, what's your liability for your husband and his business? What's the liability the city has for having that, passing that information out? There isn't anywhere on the form that you gave me that says that the information I wrote down about vehicles and that is public record.
Anything which is submitted to the city is public. That's submitted by the, by, I mean, if you apply for a building permit, you know,
if I don't want that information then being public record, then I should not give it to the city. Are they going to reject my business license if I don't give it to you?
We can discuss more afterwards, but I can tell you that the parking control officer is going to be able, as I said, you worked right down the street from City Hall, and I can say right now what kind of vehicle you drive just because I see you going to and from work. And so it's something which is very...
What kind of vehicle did I drive today?
I don't want to go there, because if you have that concern, I don't want to publicly state in a public record about that, if that's your concern. So
I'll say you said it's public record, so...
Jim, I don't want to go there. We can discuss this afterwards.
Well, I guess I'm not satisfied with the decision the council made in regards to liability. I think if I have a theft, what's the city council going to do for me as a result of this? You know, that's what I know. What's the city, from a liability standpoint, responsible for?
Let me ask just one question. First, with a comment. My understanding is that the community outreach officer will be working the same as a parking enforcement officer plus a person who gives out information. So we have plenty of uniformed police officers. They all do the same thing from time to time. This will be a dedicated person for downtown. This person will be doing the same thing as a police officer will doing, but simply will not be a uniformed police officer. Are you saying that you do not trust a person that would be hired by the Downtown Association to do the same thing that a police officer would do?
I don't know the person, so I don't know.
Well, you don't know the police officers either, but is
but
that
the police
your
officers
concern?
Are
because
are.
The, because they're just going to take the information and. I don't really understand the basis of your concern. So I think
if you've had identity theft and had your house broken in, you would understand. But I guess you haven't had either of those situations.
Well, not good.
I hope you never have to go through all that. I mean, when I went to the police department and brought documentation down showing that I had had theft in an open case, they said, go get a private lawyer.
My comment was just simply intended to say that there is no difference between it being done by a police officer, you're being
taken
by the community outreach officer.
I do see a difference.
Okay.
I mean, that's the difference that when the chief and I talked.
Okay, thank you.
We saw a difference that way.
Jim, you know that I disagree with
right,
you
we talked
and I did over the telephone, but the thing that I'm stuck on is that most of the time in your, what did you work for the city? For 3 years?
30 years.
Most of that time, parking control was done by an employee of the city, very often a part-time employee. And I can't see a difference between a part-time employee of the city having that information and a part-time employee of the Downtown Association having that information, because that information for someone who is walking up and down the street trying to provide traffic control is going to take, you know, a few weeks or a couple of months, and they're going to know every vehicle that comes into downtown and who drives those vehicles. I just don't
see. Is he the only one that's going to have that information?
Right, there's going to be one person that would be
only
hired.
One?
Yes.
And so he'll be bonded and background checked and all that.
They will go through a hiring process, and then ultimately they will be deputized as a special officer as per the city code. But it's one person. This is not other employees of the Downtown Association or board members of the Downtown Association.
And that was one of my questions. Who else would have it? Only the one person?
That's correct.
And how is he going to secure that information that make sure that nobody else got it except for him?
So, Jim, and so this is, again, that's, I think, what Councilor Ward was stating, and I was trying to state as well, is that when any of the parking control officers were hired, including Mr. Hoard that you referred to earlier, you know, any paper which had a list of downtown merchants and their license plates is going to be a snapshot in time. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to know, you know, that, you know, the silver Volkswagen Passat belongs to Brett Estes, and it's and whose car belongs to who. So it's something that they're going to be developing the knowledge and the working relationships with all the downtown merchants, and to know if it's their vehicle. And part of the beauty of this situation is that there can be a little bit more of a, you know, if they know that vehicle belongs to the owner of XYZ shop, they're going to be able to go and say, you know, hey, Ms. Smith, move your vehicle before we ticket it. But it's very much more relationship driven than I think we've ever had before, which I hope is a positive thing.
When it was the city's employee, the city was liable for their conduct and their behavior, and the city, and it's their liability. Now it's going to be the Downtown Association's liability.
Jim, this person's going to be a special deputy. So if it comes to a problem with the city, I don't think that it's going to be different than it always has been. But I'm having a real problem understanding where you're coming from, and so I don't think I've helped your position any, but I just can't understand it.
Well, I have not done a good job keeping public comments to 3 minutes each tonight. We're well over that. We need to move on. If there's any other concerns that you want to express, please express those. But in terms of questions that need answering, let's take care of that, you know, outside of the meeting. Thank you. Any other public comments tonight?
187 Commercial Street. Well, we have a little festival going on this weekend, and it's about beer, you might have noticed. But there's another thing that I want to talk to you about, and she's going to tell you about the Booth Festival. But I would just like to announce publicly to you guys that this is Elena Garner, our executive director's last meeting, a last city council meeting. She has submitted her resignation. We're in the process of looking for a new executive director. We will miss her. She's done an excellent, excellent job for downtown Astoria. And she's going to tell you why I'm wearing these glasses.
Elena Garner, number 1 12th Street, Suite 14, Astoria, Oregon. So as Dulcie mentioned, this weekend is the 15th annual Pacific Northwest Brew Cup. We kick it off this Friday at the Barbie Maritime Center. Doors open at noon, and we will be going all weekend long until Sunday at 4. A special feature this year, because it is the 15th annual, we are getting a custom stein made to look like the Astoria Column, and we will be selling raffle tickets. So if you are a true beer lover or a collector of steins or all of the above, we will have the makers that are making the stein, as well as raffle tickets for sale at the festival. So if you have any questions, you can ask me after, or we're also still looking for volunteers. You can sign up online at PacificNorthwestBrewCup.com, volunteer tab, and we look forward to seeing you all there this weekend. And thank you all so much. It's been a wonderful 3 years. I've enjoyed working with all of you in various organizations and in the capacity of the city. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Elena. Thank you for all you've done for Astoria. Any other public comments? No? Okay, we will now adjourn to the Astoria Development Commission meeting.
Yeah, and I'm going to look forward to this.
Well, we got
Okay, I'd like to call to order the Astoria Development Commission meeting for September 19th. Could I have a roll call, please? Mr. Ames.
Here.
Thank you very much, Chief Ames. Reports of commissioners.
No report.
No report, thank you.
Okay, I don't have one either. Any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay, and the consent calendar. Do we have any changes or a motion?
I move the consent calendar be adopted.
Second.
Could we have a roll call, please, Ms. Brooks? Mrs. Brooks? Ms. Brooks? Mrs. Brooks.
Commissioner Price?
Yes.
Aye. It is Commissioner Price. Commissioner Moore? Commissioner Moore?
I'm sorry, I guess I went to sleep.
Yes. And Mayor Pro Tem Yamalon.
Aye. This is the point in the night where we get silly. Apparently. Thank you. Okay. Consent calendar passes, and we just have one item tonight. Could you tell us about that, Mr. Estes?
Well, that was it.
Considering gosh, that was easy.
Recessing to executive session.
Thank you very much, sir. Speaking of silliness, okay. And now that was like the quickest meeting ever. So, Astoria Development Commission meeting is over, and now we will adjourn to executive session. Thank you for coming.